Good evening, everyone. I just want to thank Brother Calvin. I want to thank Brother Dave for helping me. As you can see, I need a lot of help. But I have a lesson tonight. And if something is said that is not in accordance with the Word of God, I pray that you would bring that to my attention. I will count you as my friend if you would do so. The title of my lesson is Attitudes Toward Error and Sin. Attitudes Toward Error and Sin. And our lesson text is 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4, and also Romans 3:23. And 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 and 4 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." Paul warns that the time would come when error and sin would have free course in the lives of men. Free course in the lives and hearts of men. And Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The same writer also tells us that the wages of sin is death. Now, the big question that should be on our mind tonight and that we should consider doing this lesson is, what is our attitude toward error and sin? And there are four possibilities. There are four possibilities. The first possibility is that we can deny them. We can deny the sin in our life. In Luke, the 18th chapter, verse 11, or rather start at verse 9, it says, "Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector.'" He could see the sin in the lives of others, but not in his own life. Outwardly, he appeared righteous, but his heart was not right. His attitude was wrong. In John, let's look over there, John. 1 John. First chapter, verse 8. It says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." John tells us that we lie if we deny that we are sinners. Ahab was not about to admit his wrong. He blamed the trouble on someone else. Turn over to 1 Kings 18, verse 17. 1 Kings 18, verse 17 says, then it happened when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said to him, is that you, O troubler of Israel? Is that you, O troubler of Israel? Many today, when asked for book, chapter, and verse for what they practice, get mad and angry and admit no wrong, but brand others as troublemakers and church splitters. And look with me in James. In James 5, verse 16. James 5, verse 16 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. James admonishes all sinners to confess their sins. So that's one possibility. The second possibility is that we can ignore them. We can ignore the error and sin in our life. We can pretend that they don't exist. In Daniel, about the fifth chapter, Belshazzar ignored the fate which his father had suffered because of sin and was overcome by sin himself, by sin itself. His life was taken and his kingdom given to another. Let's turn over to Numbers. Numbers, the 32nd chapter, in verse 23, where it says, but if you do not do so, then take note. You have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Your sin will find you out. We can ignore sin now, but we will face it in the judgment. Some of the Jews of Christ's day ignored their sins and closed their eyes and ears to the truth. Let's look at Matthew with me. Matthew 13 and verses 15. Matthew 13 and the verses 15. And the verse 15 says, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes, they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Paul instructed Timothy to take heed unto himself. Now, brothers and sisters, this is good advice for all children of God. For all children of God. We need to continually examine our lives to see if we are living in sin. Let's look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 4, verses 16. Where it says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. We can't just ignore our sins and pretend they are not there. We must seek forgiveness. That's the second possibility. The third possibility, I haven't been putting these up. The third possibility is that we can live with them. We can live with them. Pilate knew he was guilty of sin when he refused to free the sinless Christ. This attitude and practice reflects a greater desire to please men rather than God. To live with error and sin is to become a party with them. Second John 9-11 says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Members of the church at Corinth were unconcerned about the sin among them. They lived with it. First Corinthians 5. Verses 1 and 2 says, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife, and you are puffed up and have not rather mourned, that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. Many in congregations today do the same. They do not approve of the things being done, but like Pilate, they don't have the courage to resist evil. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18 says, therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be your father. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Many congregations have members who need to be withdrawn from, but no action is taken. We cannot live with sin in this fashion and please God. Number four, and our last one, is that we can oppose them. We can oppose error and sin. Galatians 2, verses 4 and 5. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Paul was never afraid to stand for truth and oppose error and sin. 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. This is Paul at the end of his life. Words that I'm sure we all pray that we can say at the end of our life. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Even in his deathbed, Paul was calling others to obey the gospel. At the close of life, Paul could truly say he had fought the good fight of faith. We can and should have the attitude that we are going to fight against error and sin with all our being. This is God's way. Matthew 21 and verse 12 says, then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. Christ, the greatest champion of truth and righteousness, was constantly opposed to all evil. He pulled no punches when dealing with the Pharisees or any other sin or sinners. We must oppose sin in our lives, in the lives of others, and within the church. If you are not a Christian today, you need to become one. Don't waste 1 minute. Don't waste 1 hour, because we need to get ready, we need to stay ready, and we need to be ready when the Lord comes. That's my lesson, brothers and sisters. That's my lesson. Our attitude toward error and sin. Our attitude will determine our altitude. And if we want to be in heaven with our Lord and Father, we need to get our lives right. We need to make Jesus the head of our life. And we need to do it today. If we are not getting the cleansing that we need from the blood, we need to get that right. Being what we need to be can help each and every one of us. And we can help one another. Pray for one another. That's my lesson. If this lesson is for you, you can come forward and sit on the front seat if you need any help from us as we sing our song of invitation.
640. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. My cross I'll carry, till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, I'll follow him.
Amen. I want to thank Ken for that great lesson about resisting sin and error in our lives. I want to thank each and every one of you for coming out. I want to thank our guests and visitors. Remember those listed in the bulletin, those that are traveling. If there are our service times, you all know Wednesday night 7:30, Sunday 9 a.m., and also Sunday 6 p.m. If there's any announcements, we want to do the for any of us who haven't taken communion, it has been set for you at this time. You may be seated.
As we get ready to partake of the Lord's Supper, we know we do this on each and first day of the week, on Sunday, which is this day, God's Lord's Day. And we do this in remembrance of him. So as we take this bread and this cup, we take it in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ and remember what he did for us and how he died on the cross and what he went through in the suffering. So I'm going to read out of 1 Corinthians, the way that we should take, the way he presented the cup to the people. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." So we know we need to examine ourselves as we take this cup and this bread and do it in a righteous manner in a way that well springs to our Lord God and Savior. So let's give a cup of thanks for the bread at this time. Most precious Heavenly Father, we come to you to take this bread that represents that body that was broken on that cross. Father God, we know you did it all for us. You gave up that life, that precious life, Father God. It was a love, a love that was never be seen again. We thank you for the love that you show for us, Father God. And we know that you are on the right-hand side, throne of glory at this time. We thank you for this bread, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give thanks for the cup. Most precious and heavenly Father, as we take this cup, which represents the blood that was shed on that cross, Father God, never let us forget what you went through for us all. Your blood rinsed away sins for all mankind. What a love, what a match of love you showed. And we thank you that we can take this cup at this time in a well and pleasing manner to thee. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Includes the Lord's Supper at this time. At this time, we have a chance to give back. Do you want to give back to the treasury at this time? Yes, okay. Let's give thanks for it. Most precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for all things, Father God. We know you are the fountain of every blessing, and we thank you for your love and your understanding. Father God, through your glory, we have these things that we have here on this earth, and we are so appreciative of the things that you give us from day to day. We thank you, we love you, and we give you all the glory, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bow with me, please. Holy Father God, we thank you for this day and the many blessings you have given to us, for another opportunity to stand before you, to worship you, to sing songs of your praise, and to hear words from your holy scriptures. Pray, Lord, that we have all learned from this lesson, that we have grown in it. Pray, Lord, that we can help others to see this lesson, to see the errors of their sin, and bring them to a rightful attitude towards sin, that we may repent of it. Pray, Lord, for all those who are out traveling. We pray that you be with them and to keep them safe until they come to their journey home. Pray you be with all of us as we journey home this night, till we come together again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.